It's all good. So I guess what's going to stir you up is some preaching. Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Amen. Take your Bible, look in look 1 John. Get 1 John in one hand, 1 John chapter 1, and then get Romans 6 in another hand. And boy, you can tell when you move from one building to another how it affects people. Amen. And we've moved, and when we first went over there, it was kind of tough getting started. And then you get used to it. That's why we're called sheep, because sheep are very fickle about movement. And we're called sheep for a reason. And I like it when it's lively. I like it when it's moving, when the Spirit of God moves. I like it like that. People raising their hands, that's not charismatic, raising hands. Nobody gonna fall out on the floor and speak in tongues and all that stuff. We was at a church, might have done that the other day, but they're not going to do that here. That's old-time religion, shouting and praising God. That's just old-time religion. That's what our old-timers used to do. But with me to Romans chapter 6 real quick, and we're going to talk a little bit about sin this morning. Man calls it an accident. People don't want to deal with that word, that little word called S-I-N. Yeah. They don't want to deal with that. Sin, and the problem with America is in sin. That's what the problem is. They say, well, this program, that program, and all these other programs that they have, they think that's going to take their sin away. It's not going to take away sin. Amen? And the problem with America is sin. That's what the problem is. And a problem with Christians is sin, and we get into sin. And people don't want to deal with it. They don't want to say that little word. You won't find a guy on TV that will preach against sin. And you won't find a guy say, this is sin. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. You won't find that on TV. You won't find a guy saying, dealing with sin. And I'll tell you this, most spiritual problems in people's lives is because of S-I-N, yeah. Sin. Amen. Most spiritual problems in your life is because of sin. And we don't want to deal with sin. And you got this movement talking about we don't have to pray. We don't have to ask God to forgive our sin anymore. That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy. But man calls it an accident. God calls it abomination. Man calls it a blunder. God calls it a blindness. Man calls it a defect. God calls it a disease. Man calls it a chance. God calls it a choice. Man calls it an error. I always say, well, you know, I was in error. Man calls it an error. God calls it an enmity. Man calls it a fascination. God calls it a fatality. A man calls it an infirmity. God calls it iniquity. Man calls it a luxury. God calls it leprosy. Man calls it liberty. God calls it lawlessness. That's what we got going on in America, lawlessness on the streets and killing and all that stuff. Man calls it a trifle. God calls it a tragedy. Man calls it a mistake. God calls it madness. And I always said sin is madness. Man calls it weakness. God calls it willfulness. And man don't want to deal with sin. And they think, well, if a little sin will help me out. And that's what the problem with everybody sitting in this room this morning is. It's got to be some sin in our lives. And we have to deal with. If you don't deal with it, then God deals with it. If you don't deal with your sin. And I could name all kinds of things. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, and it's sin without faith. And when you don't walk in faith. You sow bad habits, you're not going to reap good character. If you sow bad habits, you're not going to reap a good character. If you sow jealousy and hatred, you're not going to reap love and friendship. If you sow wicked thoughts, you're not going to reap a clean life. You're not going to reap that. You sow wrong deeds, you're not going to live righteously. You sow crime, you think, well, I'll get away with it. Now, you sow all kinds of crookedness dealings, you're not going to succeed in business. Self-indulgence, you're not going to show it, and it's going to show in your face. What happens is people think, well, I can do these things and get away with it, and it's going to make me better, and it's not going to make you better. Sin's going to cause tragedy in your life.
That's right.
Human beings have been in sin. The problem why we're in the mess we're in is it goes back to the Garden of Eden. It wasn't a monkey and then became a tadpole and then became a fish, and then the fish swam up on the sea or on the shore and then became a monkey, and now, you know, they got a PhD teaching in the local college. And it ain't that. And what happens, the reason why somebody came up with that thought or that theory, they came up with that so they wouldn't have to deal with what?
Sin.
They wouldn't have to deal with it. So we can say, well, it's animal instincts. And we have laws in America. And where do they get the laws from? The Word of God.
Yeah.
And if it's like they say that we came from animals, then why lock somebody up for killing somebody? Because that's the survival of the fittest.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happens in the animal kingdom. They survive by killing and eating other animals.
Yep.
If we came from evolution, then why would we do that? Then why? I'd ask the teacher that. Why? If we evolved from an amoeba, then how come we go to jail if it's the survival of the fittest? Man don't want to deal with sin. And man wants to do everything they can and try to give you a pill, try to give you psychological analysis, and they don't want to deal with, say, well, I think your problem is it's just you're in sin.
Yeah.
And you need to get right with God.
Right.
I believe 90% of the problems with people, Christianity, is sin. I believe that's 90%, maybe more, maybe it's 99.
Yeah.
99.9%.
Yeah.
The problem with people, they go through all these things, it's because of sin in their life. And they don't confess their sin. They don't get the thing right. So they sit there, and you come to church on Sunday morning, and you go, my God, man, preach to me. Make me feel good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, when I feel good is when I get right with God.
Amen.
When I get right with God, that's when I feel good. And I can sing praises to him when I get right with God. Look in Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 23. Look what the Bible says. It says, for the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God.
Yep.
So what man does, God says, you want a free gift? You got to deal with your sin.
Yep.
You want something free from me? You got to deal with sin. What man don't want to do, they don't want to say, no, that's wrong. That's sin in my life.
Yep.
They don't want to deal with it. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're going to have to deal with that one thing, sin. You're going to die and go to hell.
Yep.
It says the wages, that's what you earn. That's what I've earned.
Yep.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, look with me back to 1 John. Look what the Bible says in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. It says this. There was a tradition that went around about a guy named Noel Coward. He sent a note out in Detroit, and this guy sent a note out to all these prominent men in Detroit, congressmen, senators, and stuff like that. And he sent out this note, and the note said this. It says, all is discovered, escape while you can. He sent it out to 20 different men. He sent that note saying, all is discovered, escape while you can. You know, all 20 men left town. Why? Their conscience of sin. They thought maybe somebody found out about me. Look at this. 1 John chapter 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as a child of God, the reason why we get sin out of our life is so we can fellowship with God. Fellowship. We're his children. We can fellowship. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And he says that... Then this is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you say you fellowship with God and you say, I know God and I'm fellowship with God, and you're walking in darkness and you're in sin in your life, you say, well, everybody sins. Yeah, but you're not supposed to be in sin.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be constantly practicing sin in your life.
Right.
You're supposed to have fellowship with the Father. If we say we have fellowship with the Father and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. God doesn't walk with somebody in sin.
Amen.
It says, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. God, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. If we say we have no sin, look at that verse. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we don't sin, the truth is not in us. We're lying. And a man will try to get away with that and try to say, I don't want to deal with that. Yeah. We got a movement in this country that they say, well, we don't have to confess our sins after we've gotten saved. That's a lie. Yeah. That's hyper-dispensationalism. Right. And that's a lie that people are teaching, and I think that's going to bring condemnation in a Christian's life. Because even if you're God's child, you're going to go to heaven when you die, but if you don't deal with sin in your life, if you don't deal with it, then you're going to bring condemnation upon yourselves. Now, I'll show you that verse in a minute. It says, if we confess our sins, look at that. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? And what? Come on now. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's like taking a shower every day. It's like getting clean every day. And it says, God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, every day we go out in this world, we think wrong thoughts, we touch things that we shouldn't, and if you're not daily confessing things and saying, Lord, I'm sorry for that, I shouldn't have said that, and you're not doing that, then you're building up more sin in your life, and then what happens is you can't get the truth. You can't get your eyes, and you can't fellowship. You know, people come to church, they say, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't have nothing. I didn't feel nothing. The reason why, usually you point back and you look back in your life, there's something going on. It's that little word called S-I-N. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We make him a liar. Like I said, there's a movement going around, a hyper-dispensationalist teaching that all our sins were washed away at Calvary and you don't have to confess it anymore. Now, the Bible says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So what they teach is that you don't have to confess your sins after you're saved. But there's something wrong with that, that you can blow holes through that theory. You can blow holes all through that because it's crazy what they said. Paul, that converted and preached to the Ephesians and Ephesians chapter Ephesians church, and he said in Acts chapter 19, take your Bible, look at Acts 19, hold 1 John. Go to Acts chapter 19. Look at Acts chapter 19. Look what the Bible says they did. Look what Acts chapter 19 says. Acts chapter 19 and look at verse 18. Acts 19:18. It says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them which used curious arts brought their books. It says many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They confessed. They came and confessed about their sin in their life. They came to Paul and talked about that. Take your Bible, look in 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy. Go over to 1 Timothy now. Look what the Bible says. And confessing your sin is important in a Christian's life. If you don't, then you're going to cause condemnation to come upon yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 13. And it says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all the long-suffering for the pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. And the Bible talks about confessing our sin. And if we don't confess it, it makes him a liar. Now, take your Bible, look with me to over to Psalms chapter 32. Go to Psalms chapter 32. Now, God forgave us of our sin. We know that. But men, like I said, they don't want to deal with sin. God's forgiven us, and thank God he has. In the Old Testament, God forgave sin. God forgave men. But there's always consequences to sin. And I want you to look at Psalms 32, what the Bible says. God has done, he covers sin, and he covered the sin of Israel. He forgave them. Even before Jesus Christ, he forgave their sin and covered their sin. Look what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is what? Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord impute not what? And in whose spirit there is no guile. It says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, God will cover sin. He did it for the Old Testament saints. He did it for them. Now, take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 8. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to show you something here tonight, this morning. Romans chapter 8. Now, look at chapter 8 and look at chapter 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation. Now, now we're in the New Testament. Old Testament, God covered their sin. God covered sin until the Lord Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ had to come and pay the sin debt. He was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. The Jews, every year, had to take a sacrifice, and they had to go to Jerusalem, and they had to have a lamb, or if they couldn't afford a lamb, they had a turtle dove, or they had a young pigeon. They went in, and they brought it in for sin, and for yearly sin, yearly, that God would cover their sin, and God wouldn't bring judgment on them because of their sin. Now, when Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist saw him coming down. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sin of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, in the Old Testament, God covered the sin. He postponed the sin and forgave them. New Testament, look here, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There it is right there. There's no condemnation. But then the next part of that paragraph, it goes on, of that verse, it says, look what it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, it says, if we don't confess our sin in 1 John, the truth is not in us, and we make him a liar. Now, I knew a preacher, a girl that went to Bible school. Her pastor got up, and he must have been a hyper-dispensationalist. He got up and told all the congregation to mark out that latter part of that verse in their Bible because it's not true. He said, mark it out because it's not true. Now, it says, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And it says, and he said, the rest of that, just mark it out because it ain't true. Because then the Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we're saved. We're God's child. We're going to heaven no matter what. You know what? If the rapture takes place and you're not living for God and you're in sin and you're doing whatever you're doing, and you could be, man, into all kinds of mess, doing drugs, fornicating, all that stuff, and the rapture takes place, you're going out of here. The rapture going to take. Can you imagine if the rapture takes place and you're sitting there smoking a joint or shooting up drugs, or you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and the rapture takes place and you're right in the middle of it? You're right in the middle of your sin. And and the rapture takes place and you go, oh my. And the Lord walks up and says, what were you doing? He knows what you're doing. And the rapture takes place. You say, well, can a person? You see, a lot of churches teach that you can't, if you're saved, you can still lose it. You can lose your salvation. The Bible teaches that you're eternally secure forever. You're God's child. It's like you're born in your family. You're your mom and dad's child. You belong to them no matter what. You can say, I don't love my mother. I don't love my father. I don't care for them. But you're still their child. You're of their seed. God's going to take his children out of here. And can you imagine if you're in sin? Now, you know why a lot of Christians suffer in this life a lot of times? Now, there's suffering that people go through for righteous sake. And there's suffering that people go through because of their own sakes. Yep. They bring it upon themselves. Yeah, preacher, that's right. And sin, don't confess your sin, don't get the thing right. And you say, well, does God give you a license to sin? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Yeah. Somebody said, well, you know what? I got this license here. And this license here allows me to go ahead and sin, whatever, do whatever I want to, and I'm allowed. No, it isn't. God doesn't give you a license to go out and do what you want to do, even though we do what we want to do. If you do what you want to do, then there's consequences. There's consequences for your sin.
Amen.
And you think, and not only does it affect you, it affects the people around you. You know what? I tell you another thing. I'm scared to commit sin in my own life because I don't want to affect the church.
Amen.
I love this church and I love people. Amen. It scares me because it'll affect you. Can you imagine if something If I was out messing around doing something, and all of a sudden it came out and went public in this neighborhood, everybody in this area knew it, and you walked up and you're trying to witness somebody, tell them about Jesus Christ, and they say, do you go to that church? Didn't that pastor just get caught doing something? See, it affects everybody. You say, well, you're just in a position. No, if you're a father or you're a mother or you're a child, amen. You reflect on your family. Amen. You reflect on your family. You reflect on this church. I told you, a guy came out of Napa, and he said, are you the pastor of Faith Baptist Church? And he said, you know why I quit going there? And he said, I'll talk to you outside. And as soon as somebody says that, I'll go, oh, boy, here it goes. You know how many times I've had people come to me and say, you know, you're a pastor, Faith, let me tell you about so-and-so, what he goes to. They said, let me tell you what they've been doing. You know how that hurts me? Because while I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, all these, they're all saints. They all love God. Oh, man, they're all living for God. I want to say to them, you liar. I had somebody tell me one time, he said, you know, so-and-so goes to your church, he's been driving a bus, or he's been using a van. I said, yeah. He said, he was dealing drugs. You know how that hurts? Sin. You say, well, sin just affects me. No, it affects everybody. It affects your family. It affects your children. It affects your grandkids. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. So there is condemnation for those who walk after the flesh. There is condemnation. If you walk after the flesh, there is condemnation. Yeah. One time, y'all heard this story, Leonardo da Vinci was painting the masterpiece, The Last Supper, and he sought for models of people and for the 12 disciples. And he found a guy that he saw in the church. He said, this guy would look just like Jesus Christ if I ever would have seen him. And his name was Pedro Beninelli. He said, Pedro Beninelli. And this guy sat while he painted Jesus Christ. He started in the middle and painted Jesus first. And he went down and he hired people and hired them, had them sit while he painted them because they looked like each disciple. And he got down to the last guy, and he got down to the last man. He said, I got to paint Judas. He waited, let Judas be the last one. And he said, I'll wait. And this thing took years for him to do, the Last Supper. When we look at the Last Supper, you know, you think, man, that took him years to paint. So he got down, years went by, and he went out on the streets looking for somebody that would look like Judas. And he found a guy. He said, when he saw the guy, he shuddered. He said, man. That guy is scary looking. And he said, that's the guy. So he went up to the guy and asked him if he could, if he could pay him to sit while he painted the picture of the Last Supper. And he said, I wanted somebody to look like that, I think, look like Judas. And that guy sat throughout the whole time while he painted that picture of Judas. And at the end, and when he went to pay him, the guy says, don't you know me? He said, I'm Pedro. He said, I sat for you, and when you painted Jesus, he went, you're the same guy? He says, I'm the same man. He said, what happened to you? He said, I guess sin. Sin never leaves you like it found you. It always takes you further than you want to go. It always costs you more than you want to pay. Sin will destroy you, your family. You know, you sow unrighteousness, you reap unrighteousness. You sow righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. Sin will always cost you more than you want to pay. God said in the Old Testament, he said, I'll cover your sin. He said, I'll pardon your sin. He pardoned their sin. Isaiah 55, verse 7, I don't have time to cover all the verses. He said, I'll pardon your sin. And man, God did pardon their sin. God, he took Israel back time after time after time. You think about our own lives. God's taken us back. He's allowed and he's forgiven us. But why do we want to continue? We've seen people get saved and get off drugs, get their life cleaned up, and they go right back to it. and bring shame upon and destroy their home after the church prayed and people, God's children prayed and asked God to help them and restore things, and God restored it, and then all of a sudden they just throw it all away. Think, man, what in the world? You had the greatest chance in all the world. Yeah. You allowed sin. And you wouldn't get it right. Yeah. I ain't doing nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with me. It's going to cost you more than you want to pay. God abundantly pardons. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah 55. Look what it says. You need to mark this verse in your Bible. God abundantly pardons. Abundantly. You think about that word, abundantly. That's what he does for us. He abundantly pardons our sin. Thank God he does. Sin. Boy, it's not just an accident. Sin is not just a little blunder of man. Sin will cause a heartache and trouble in your life. Isaiah 55, look what it says. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquity. Look in Isaiah 55, though. Look what it says. In Isaiah 55, look at verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Look what it says. God says, I'll let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, when you start thinking it and start meditating upon it, before long you'll go after it. And it says, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Amen. And to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That's why we encourage people to get in the Word of God and study the Word of God. Why? Because you get the mind of Christ. You get more like, you think like he thinks rather than the way the world thinks. So, and look what he says in verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in things whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. He's telling the children of Israel. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing. And we know there's a millennial thing. And all the trees of the field shall what? Clap their hands. God will pardon sin. He'll abundantly pardon. The Bible says he'll also remove sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, as a child of God, we can claim these verses. As even their Old Testament, God can, we can still claim them, even though they were to Israel. He said, I'll remove sin as far as the east from the west. Go to Psalms 103. Go to Psalms 103. You can claim these verses for yourself, and God will pardon our sin. God will cover our sin. He'll also remove it far as the east is from the west. And we're going to get in the New Testament in a second. I want to go Old Testament right now. And sin is all the way through the Bible. It started in the Garden of Eden, and we're going to deal with it all the way up to past the millennium. And then one day, the Bible says there'll be no more sin. No more death. You know why death came? Because of sin. We're going to funerals and dealing with things. Why? Because of sin. We're all born in sin. And we deal with it. And it ought to make us hate sin, but we don't hate sin. We don't hate it like we should hate it. Ask God to give you a holy hatred for sin. But the problem is, we'll get a holy hatred for sin in other people's lives, not in our own. When the Bible says, set no wicked thing before your eyes, you shouldn't be watching movies with a lot of wickedness in it. You shouldn't be looking at stuff that's got a lot of wickedness in it, on your phone, all that stuff. Yeah. Why? It gets in there, man. Your mind is like a computer. It'll store it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll bring it up right when you're trying to do right.
Amen.
It'll mess your mind up.
Yeah.
Right when you're trying to do right, you'll be down praying and some wicked thoughts come through your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you put in your head, look at Psalms, Psalm 103. Look at Psalm 103. Look what the Bible says. It says, verse 12. It says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath I removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. Man, that's something, brother. Never meet again. You know what? The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we would not be what? If we would judge our sin in our life. We're good about judging. We're very good about judging. But it's always everybody else. Why is so-and-so doing that? Why is it? Hey, man, you need to judge your own self. You stay with your own self, you'll be busy. You'll stay busy. The Bible says God will cast his sin behind his back in Isaiah 38. He'll cast it behind his back. Go to Isaiah 38. Look what it says. He'll cast your sin behind his back. Isaiah 38. Look what it says. These are Old Testament passages God's given to Israel, but you can claim them as a child of God because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. God refuses to look upon sin. You know what? When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, when he was in the Garden of Eden, some commentator said he was afraid to die. He was not afraid to die. Jesus Christ was not afraid to die. What he didn't want to take, he said, let this cup pass from me. That cup was, he was going to drink the wrath of God. Why? Sin. We take sin so lightly in our lives, and it costs God everything. He said, I don't want to drink it, but not my will, but thine be done. And he drank that cup of the wrath of God. And the sins of the whole world placed upon him. And people don't want to deal with sin in their life. And when you don't deal with it, you'll deal with it somewhere down the line. I've asked God, don't let the sins of my past come out on my children, even though I've seen it. Job said, the thing I fear the most has come upon me. The longer you go into sin, the longer it takes the process. Isaiah 38, verse 17. Behold, our peace. I had great bitterness. Sin will cause you to be bitter.
Yeah, that's right.
For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. That's 17. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For I gave the grave, for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. You want to know what your job is, Daddy? To make the truth known to your children.
Amen.
Deal with sin in your own life. Let them see you pray and ask God to forgive you. And ask forgiveness from them. God says, I'll blot out your sin. I'll cast it behind me. He says, sin is in the depths of the sea, Micah chapter 7. I'll cast your sin in the depths of the sea. Then he says in Jeremiah, he says, I'll remember it no more. Jeremiah 31, he said, I'll remember it no more. I mean, that's what he gives Israel. Now, go back to 1 John. Look what 1 John says. It says, if we say we have no sin, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, I believe this, when you get down to pray, when you get down to pray as a child of God, I think you need to deal with your sin first.
Yeah.
I believe that with all my heart. You need to deal with your sin first. When you get down and ask God for anything, you know what people do? They'll be standing in line, God, give me this. God, give me that. They act like God's like Walmart. God, I got this. I want that. I want this. I want that. But see, you got to deal with sin first.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You got to say, Lord God, I'm your child. And I've sinned against you. I've thought things, Lord. God, forgive me. God, help me. Help me love you. And Lord, wash us in the blood. And Lord, pray that you'd meet the need. I believe you need to deal with sin in your life.
Yeah.
I've found Christians being bitter, not knowing how to pray, not knowing how to deal with things in their life. And it's all because sin piles up and piles up and piles up and piles up. God will forgive your sin. God will cover your sin. Man, thank God he does. Now it says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, thank God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As I said, you can confess it. A lot of people think, like I said, they think they got a license to sin, but you need to deal with sin, but you need to forsake it. You know what Jesus healed people? You know what he said? Whenever he healed somebody, he said, go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you.
Yeah. Amen.
Go and sin no more unless something worse. If you're not willing to deal with sin, number one, you can't get saved. If you're not willing to deal with sin as a child of God, you have no fellowship with the Father. You have no fellowship or with the Son. When you come to God, you got to deal with sin in your life. If you don't, you're not going to have the fellowship that you desire. He says, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, look what it says. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Right there, it's a foolish thing for a person to say, to continue in the sin when you've got somebody on your side saying, Father, I paid their sin debt. Forgive them. When you come to him and ask him, he goes to the Father. We have an advocate. An advocate is a lawyer. Amen. A lawyer standing up for us. Yeah. Everybody says, well, talk to my lawyer. No, you mean to talk to yours on a daily basis. Amen. Your lawyer. Why? Because the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's always there. Like I said, when somebody, I find out somebody's doing wrong and they say, are you the pastor of that church down there? And somebody tells me that, it hurts me. Can you imagine how when the devil stands before God and says, is that your child? Is that your child over there doing that? That child is following me. And Jesus Christ stands up and says, on your behalf, Father, he's mine. I paid his sin debt. I know he's not right. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with him. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to deal with him that he'll get right. And there's a sin on the death for a child of God. Yeah. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the payment. He's the payment. He already paid it. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And so on. Sin, you have to deal with, child of God, whether you want to or not. You need to deal with sin in your life. Now, when it comes to confessing your sins, there's a movement called hyper-dispensationalists. And they go about saying, since you're saved, and they mark out the last part of that Romans 8:1, they say you don't have to confess your sins anymore after you're saved. That's bringing condemnation upon yourself and upon your family. Because the Bible tells us this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. I'll close in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is important, folks. As a pastor, this is my job to help the church and my church family to learn how to deal with sin in their life. Amen. If we don't, then we bring condemnation upon ourselves. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning the Lord's Supper. And I've asked him this. I said, if that's true, you ask if somebody that believes they don't have to confess your sins, well, how do you get clean? How do you get clean on a daily basis? I've had them tell me this. I don't have to. I said, so you mean to tell me that your thought life is perfect and you don't touch anything that's wrong? You don't do anything that's wrong? There's no bad words, no thoughts in your mind, so you don't have to confess it? How do you get clean? How? They can't answer it. They cannot. And there was a movement in our church here. There was the guys that believed that you didn't have to confess your sins. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That destroys Christians.
Yes, sir.
Look at this. He says, and when he gave thanks, verse 24, chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, verse 25, he says, the same manner, he took the cup. And then it says, and then verse 26, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till you come. Now, we do this once a year. We do the Lord's Supper once a year. And the reason why we do it once a year, we don't want it to become, a lot of churches do it every month and all that stuff. It becomes a ritual. They think that's what washed away their sin, you know, taking the Lord's Supper. But when we have the Lord's Supper, it says, do this in remembrance of me. And when we take the Lord's Supper here, and the Bible tells us we're supposed to examine ourselves. Yeah. And if you're not doing it on a daily basis, once a year, you've got to deal with it. Yeah. Now, I've told people this. I've said, we're going to have Lord's Supper tonight or on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, whatever. I have people who wouldn't even come to church because of it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't come to church. You know why? They said, well, I'm afraid. I said, you don't have to be afraid asking God to forgive you. They say, I won't come to church because I don't want to deal with it. You better deal with it.
Yeah.
You better deal with sin. Look what the Bible says. He says, wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh what? What? To himself. You'll bring damnation upon yourself. Not going to hell. Not going to hell. I've seen people sitting in this church and we pass the Lord's Supper around. I've seen people refuse to take it. You know what that tells me? That tells me you don't want to deal with sin. That tells me you just do not want to deal with your sin. That means to tell me that you're happy in sin. It's like a hog wallowing in the mire. You're happy there. And if a person gets saved, they're not supposed to be hogs anymore.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be sheep.
Yeah. Amen.
Sheep have no way of cleaning themselves. The shepherd has to do it.
Amen.
And when we come to the shepherd, he cleans us.
Amen.
We are his sheep.
Yeah.
Of his pasture. And the only way we can get clean is through the shepherd.
Yep.
And if you don't want to deal with that, there's something wrong with you.
Yep. Right. Amen.
There's something wrong. And it's always that little word, S-I-N.
Yeah.
A fellow one time, he preached on sin. And he preached on sin for 4 weeks straight. 4 weeks straight, he got preaching on sin. Finally, some of the men in the church said, come on, preacher. Man, you've been hitting sin every week. Like I said, most churches don't preach on sin. They preach on how to cope with this and how to cope with that and how to cope with your coworker and all that stuff. But if you want to cope with your coworker, deal with sin in your life.
Yeah.
And they won't preach on sin. Why? Because it's too controversial.
Yeah.
It's not politically correct.
Yeah.
Especially in 2015, we don't want sin. Are you going to preach on sin? Come on. Have preacher preached on sin 4 weeks in a row. Men came to him and said, preacher, man, we're just, you know, don't you think you preached on sin long enough? He goes, well, when everybody gets right, then I'll quit preaching on it. And they said, come on, man, can't you water it down some? He said, well, he had some strychnine there. He said, I got some strychnine right here. Would you want me to put, tomato juice or the Lord's Supper wine or new wine on there and let everybody drink it? They said, no, preacher. He said, that's what sin is. It's like that bottle of strychnine. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. If you don't deal with sin in your life, and I'm going to tell you something, if you got something that's causing you to sin or somebody that you hang with that always takes you down, get away from them. If it's a husband or a wife, you go, God, help them. But you better deal with it. You better say, I'm not going to sin. I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying to stay clean. I want to stay clean.
Amen.
A lot of times people, young Christian kids, like to hang around with other kids, and they're talking all kinds of filth and stuff. And I told you, the guy that used to run around the gang with his name, David Belcher. David Belcher, that guy was saved and never opened his mouth about Jesus Christ to me. My brother was killed, and he was sitting on the front porch and never opened his mouth and told us about Jesus. You know why? He's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He never told us. And man, he didn't have enough guts when after I got saved, he came to my house and he was going to try to witness to me. And he walked. This guy's 6'5". And he walked in front of me and he would stop and look at me. And he loses guts. And I finally stood up. I said, David, I got saved. And he picked me up and swung me around the house and crying and asked me to forgive him. You will one day.
Yeah.
If you don't live for God, you're going to be asking a lot of people to forgive you.
Yeah.
Especially if you know the truth and you don't live for God like you should. It says, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of this bread, of that bread, and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. You'll bring damnation, not a permanent damnation going to hell, but you'll bring damnation upon yourself. If we would judge ourselves, look what it says in verse 31, we would not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, God won't have to do it. Then it says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. So the sin problem, we don't want to deal with, but if you deal with it, you get clean. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't think there's a person in this room that doesn't take a shower. If you don't, then I'm sure the people sitting next to you wish you would. But if we had some kind of spiritual black light this morning, or some light that we could put on people, and it would show the darkness in your life because of sin, I wonder what you would look like. I wonder the last time you asked God, you spent some time between you and the Lord saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. When's the last time you spent time just saying, God, I want to stay clean. I don't want to be filthy in your eyes. I know you cover my sin. You're forgiving my sin. You wash me. And it's a shame that people won't take advantage. Now, there's consequences. Always consequences. Just like sowing and reaping, there's consequences. You can get forgiveness, but there's consequences.
Yeah.
And what happens is people don't want to deal with the sin. Then they don't like the consequences. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at? You're here today, you're not saved. Let me tell you something. The Lord loves you. He died for you. And you turn your nose up to that? My God, my God. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. God loved you that much that he would die just for you. And you turn your nose up to that? We walk by people all the time and say, sir, can I give you something to read, tell you about Jesus? I don't want that. Not about religion. Not about me or church. It's about Jesus. Died for you. Paid your sin debt. Wouldn't you want to get saved? I said to that girl at the bank the other day, I said, are you saved? Wouldn't you like to get saved? She got mad. She got mad at me. Are you saved this morning? Are you clean this morning? You can get clean. So simple. So easy. There's consequences. But I tell you what, if I was you, I'd get clean as soon as I possibly could. So the consequences be less. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Father, we thank you again this morning. I pray, God, you bless my brothers and sisters this morning. I pray for Faith Baptist Church, God, that we would be, Father, we're not trying to be holier than thou or self-righteous, looking down our nose at people. God, we don't want to be that way. But God, help us to be clean. And God, if we come in here to hear preaching, I pray, God, help us to be receptive to it, Lord, not be bitter, not be hard. And people, I've had people say, well, I didn't really get anything. I didn't feel anything. And a lot of times it's because of sin in our lives. My Father, help us this morning. Help us as your church, as Faith Baptist Church, that God, we would want to be clean. We wouldn't want to stay clean. God, wash us, cleanse us, cover our sins. And Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, God, you've cast our sin. Lord, thank you for that. But we have to deal with sin in this flesh on a daily basis. God, we're saved. We belong to you. You paid our sin debt. But now, after we're saved, we got to stay clean. Not getting saved over and over and over again, but just getting clean on a daily basis. Having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Well, my Father, thank you again this morning. I pray, God, you'd help my brothers and sisters. And Lord, use this message for your glory and honor. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm not going to ask anybody forward this morning.